What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. We back. Another victory under the belt. Could get very used to this. Hopefully a couple more victory shows to cover for the season is over. But, man, yeah, we back. We got to celebrate. As you know, it's like the good, bad part. Those games fall in a weird time, middle of the week. Especially around New Year's, I was out of town, so I know I think X did a little pop up space for a minute right after the game. Yeah, so we happy to be back, man. Got the guys with me. We'll get into it, man. We're gonna just kind of run through a few little topics with y'all tonight. We're gonna kind of go back over to the Ohio State game, look into the portal a little bit. I know it's been a little quiet on the public front for us on the portal, but I'm not really worried about that situation. We'll get into why and why not. And then look forward to the Ole Miss game. So to break it down as usual, man, got my main man in the building, the real field, General X is here.
Yo, 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 man, this is what, January 6th, and we still bowling? Still going bowling? I don't even want to call it bowling. We playing.
Ball.
We playing ball.
Damn, bowling. He's the real bowler.
Oh, man.
He's the real bowling. Y'all just saying that because y'all only want to bowl in forever. All right, well, I'll take these. These back-to-back ones, then. How about that?
Yeah, we don't care about that. We don't care about that. You ain't winning the ACC. Who cares? We here. We still balling, and y'all watching. How about that?
Game's getting played, no doubt. And then with us as well, we got my man, Chef D-Rob, is in the building over there. Whooping up a little. What you got going on this evening?
Oh man, got some homemade chicken noodle soup, man. It's a little chilly here, so you know, got to whip something up real quick. But yeah, man. Hey, boy, man, I'm excited. I'm happy. Like this, it exceeded my expectation. I don't really care about the AC or y'all ain't when the ACC talk because we already know what happened. We know that was BS. We supposed to be ACC champs. You know what I'm saying? But you win, if you win a natty, who cares? Who cares if you don't win the ACC? I mean, right now, where we at in the position we in, who cares? Like, right. We've exceeded expectations of what people thought we were going to do and everything else. Nobody thought we was going to beat Ohio State. Everybody, not one person picked us to beat Ohio State. Everybody had us, Ohio State, you know, they ain't going to be able to score this. And if they do this, Miami ain't going to be able to do this. And look what happened. So, man, come on, man. Like, I ain't trying to hear nothing but nobody talking about.
Don't forget, Ohio State got 100 first rounders. Ain't no way y'all can beat a team with 100 first rounders, right?
No. Hey, no, X, that ain't even that. They spent, what, $35 million on their roster? And they ain't even make it back? 35 M's?
It's going to be hard,
man. Come on, man.
And the funny part is, I said it earlier, and, you know, I've been saying that about the ACC or winning the ACC. I told people, like, look, if we could follow in Ohio State's footprints, not win the Big Ten and win the Natty, I'm cool. You can have the ACC. You can have it next year, too, if it means a Natty. That's not really on my list of things I give a damn about. You know, we're trending in a great direction, playing tremendous football, relatively healthy.
Nah, bro. You got to say the right word. You got to say the barrier word, the trajectory of the program.
No doubt.
Trajectory of the program. Like,
I don't see that clip so much no more. I keep telling people that clip is died down, man. That clip used to hit anytime we lose or, you know, don't get a commit or something. I'm going crazy. I know who y'all bringing back to coach again next year. I see your portal. It is in all utter disgust.
Oh, man.
Terrible. We ain't even getting into y'all this week. You know the deal. Go ahead and resurface that clip. But, yeah, man, the trajectory is amazing. Playing really good football right now. Very, like I said, relatively healthy, man. We going into this playoffs, and that's what a lot of people, you know, got not necessarily understanding about building these rosters, man. You're building them for long seasons. If you do it right, you've got to have this depth. And I think if you approach the players right, they understand, like, you could be called upon at any moment, man. Perfect example is the game we get ready to talk about, Marty Brown. You know, Marty was heavy for us early in the season. Towards, you know, latter end, we started leaning a little more towards Pringle. And then when it really counted the most, we was able to go right back to that well. He had fresh legs, fresh body, and his mind is still in the game. And that speaks so much to the culture of guys still being bought in without having to play every single snap, without having to be like running back two or one or three. It's like, I'm part of a winning team and a winning culture. So that just speaks volumes to what Mario's been building over there, which is a culture of winning. And that's something we haven't had in a long time. And that's why it hasn't been, you know, the Miami that people have been expecting over all these years. Like, but yeah, we're here now, man. So going back just a few, you know, last week, Ohio State matchup, 10-point underdog. The disrespect.
Disrespectful, 10-point.
That was very disrespect.
Dang, we ain't lost the game. I don't even know, in 2 years, maybe we haven't lost a game by 10 points. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, we haven't lost a game by 10 points. What, that was 2023? No. Yeah, 2023, I think it was.
23, when we were at 75.
Yeah.
You're right, exactly.
I'm trying to figure out what game that was. I don't even know what game that was. I'm trying to really – I think the last game we lost.
Whatever it was, it's not the identity of this team. And yeah, so, yeah, like, I thought 10 was crazy. I was like, man, you know, maybe I'm being biased as a fan. But I was like, I don't know. I think just watching this team objectively, it's hard for me to see how you would think that Miami would lose to anybody by 10 points. Granted, they think that this Ohio State team is very talented, which it is, but so are we. And I think that's the problem. Like, I think our talent has been underestimated.
Yeah, then they figured since we only scored 10 points on A&M, we ain't going to score, but maybe 10, maybe 14 against Ohio State. Ohio State will actually score more points because they have better offensive weapons and blah, blah, blah. It's, like I say, they before the game, all they talked about was, oh, boy, Ohio State got first. They got four first-rounders on the D-line. They got first-rounders on the O-line, and they got Jeremiah Smith, and they got the red-shirt freshman or sophomore quarterback who wasn't supposed to win that award. They got him. They got the best safety in the nation. They got Ryan Day calling plays. They got Matt Patricia calling the defense. It's no way Miami going to win.
Right.
So 10 points to them was like, yeah, we think 10 points was fair. Not even looking at the fact that, man, Miami defense is really good like that.
Right.
And then when their offense is doing what they got to do, they, you know what I'm saying, putting points up. And that was my thing. I kept telling people, I said, man, listen, all Miami offense got to do is just move the ball up and down the field. You know what I'm saying? Even if we don't score 40-something points or 35 points, just move the ball up and down the field. It has showed that team belongs and the other team going to get bullied because that's what we were trying to do, basically bully them. You know what I'm saying? So
right. I think their plan, or I think maybe the national perception was that this was a big Carson Beck game, right? And it's so, you know, we talked about it previously, and, you know, wherever his ceiling is, it is, right? And his floor, we've seen the floor before where he goes out there and, you know, has a kind of pick-heavy game, right? But if you're judging on what he's done over the last 6 weeks, it is weird to judge him very negatively, other than if you're just looking at he don't have a lot of yards. That's the only thing I think you could judge negatively. So I think part of what the national media especially was leaning into, number one, is name recognition, right? Ohio State won it all last year, and they're, you know, they are a talented team. I think a lot of people just thought this would be a game that they could force Beck to lose it for us. And he just looked composed. And one of the big reasons he looked so composed is that offensive line is nothing to play with. Like it's not a joke. That front is sincerely serious, bro. You got to do some work to get to my quarterback.
And he's been in these big game situations. Like people, listen, when I said Beck was what 35-5, I'm like, if anybody taking that for granted, they stupid. They don't know ball. They don't know nothing. Cause there's no way I'm finna take a quarterback who's 35-5 who played for Georgia. You know, and I guess if that's the MO, or he played for Georgia in the big mighty SEC, how can he not be good? Like, that just don't make sense at all. But that was the narrative. Oh, Beck is not this. He da-da-da. All right, no problem. Look at him at Miami. This man's sitting in the pocket, and his jersey is clean. His jersey would be clean if he wasn't running for first downs. He was doing that on his own. But, you know, other than that, his jersey would be clean, and they wouldn't even have to wash it.
No doubt.
Yeah, man. This is why I think I'm still not gonna jump the gun yet. I mean, but this is why this Natty, man, like Beck is a veteran. He has been on the team when they won the national championship.
He ain't starting. He played in that game, they beat TCU, but there wasn't no.
Yeah, and it's like he's taking care of the ball. He's not making any mistakes. So I think I don't care if he don't pass for 200 yards or nothing like that. As long as he take care of that ball and do what he did, like when he ran that DB over to get that first down, man, I jumped out my seat, man. I jumped out my seat.
That's what I'm talking about. No, was that Texas? I think that was Texas A&M getting out and to say, what about when he went to the coach and said, hey, let's start running up the middle? Because
that was A&M game, right? Okay. A&M game, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'm good. Yeah, man. I'm good, man. He's showing that veteran leadership. Like, all narratives have been killed, man. And if we win this Natty, oh my God. Like, bro. I can see it now.
Go ahead.
Man, listen, when we win Thursday, it's, boy, social media, the timeline finna be so ignorant. Hey, I got people already hitting me in Miami talking about, boy, we bringing out the cars, we bringing out the bikes.
Oh, man.
I just looked at the date the other day, and I was like, man, the national championship game is on Martin Luther King Day. I say, boy, man. I say, listen, Miami gonna be like they ain't never seen before. Whoever the opponent gonna be, man, they ain't gonna have no good time in Miami.
Listen, I said, boy, if we make it there, that sideline is gonna be half football team and probably the whole 2002 champion. It's gonna be everybody there. They got the rope off part of like the sideline and be like, yo, y'all have to stay over here because, boy, it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, they going to complain. They're going to complain about it being, they're going to complain about it because, like, no, the other two teams, Oregon and Indiana, they don't have an alumni that's good like that to be on the sideline. Like, nobody really know them.
Even if they do, that's not our fault they don't have that culture. Like, the best of Oregon could come back. There's nobody stopping them, you know what I mean? Or maybe they are. And if they are, that's on your school and how they run the thing. I think the thing when you really do, going back, swinging back to Beck a little bit, is I think it's almost like Shaq with the free throws. What Shaq used to always say, I make them when they count. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what you need from Beck is – he don't need to necessarily toss the ball down the field for 250 yards. Just make the throws we need you to make. And I think he's done an excellent job of that. I think that's why the percentage is so high, is that he's making smart throws and putting the ball in places where his playmakers can make plays.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny to hear the narratives now because Texas A&M vaunted defense, right? They would talk very, very well about their defense. Okay, cool. So, and then, you know, you had to win factor, blah, blah, blah. So points were hard to come by, period. Same thing in this game. I know they want to minimalize him in this game, but I'm like, well, didn't y'all just tell me that this was the best defense in the land? You told me the best defense in the land. I think it might be the second best defense in the land. I think the best defense in the land were orange and green. I give them second. I think they're damn good. I think they're damn good and deserve some recognition for being as good as they are. But I think the key for Carson Beck as we continue to, you know, go on this run is that just make the throws we need when we need them. I think, especially this week, and we'll get into it a little bit, running the ball is going to be paramount, right? But, you know, that game starts off, it was almost like first round of a boxing match, you know what I mean? A little bit, you kind of pawing around at each other, feeling each other out, seeing exactly how your opponent wants to move, you know, how you would like to attack them. I thought, you know, we moved the ball in some small spurts. The first drive, you know, and I'll ask y'all this too, right? So the first drive, we take a three and out. I can honestly say I was in no way discouraged. I was just like, yeah, we'll get it. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, that old me, the old Miami had to go, oh, this shit go. It's about to be over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, same thing. I wasn't discouraged, man. I was like, all right, man, we good. We gonna be straight. And then it's like when they got the ball and they didn't do nothing, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, our defense came to play. They ain't, you know what I'm saying? Then the offense didn't fold. We didn't panic. Dawson called an awesome game, man. That play that he ran where Fletcher caught the touchdown, I didn't expect that at all. When I seen that, I was like, okay, it's going to be an inside run. They're going to kick the field goal, get the points. They ain't going to do nothing crazy. When I seen him fake and throw, I say, oh, that boy Dawson in his bag, boy, because we've never seen that play before. We've never seen that play, right? And then another play that I said, like, when at the fourth quarter, right before we scored our last touchdown, when it was, what, third and four, and they threw that screen to C.J. Daniels. That was the first time we ran that play the whole game. Dawson ain't run that play the whole game, and that play works, man. I said he called his game, boy. He called him again. He called that game.
Man, the first drive we got. You say it was a three and out, but instantly I say, man, that team looks soft.
Yeah.
Like, I seen our boys up front push them. I'm like, hold on, that team kind of looks soft, like. You know, and I'm always like, if I see our O-line pushing, I'm like, man, run that ball. And I'm like, man, run the ball, because that team looks soft, man. And then once we got the ball back the second time, I was like, oh, yeah, we beat this team. I'm like, there's no way. I mean, that's just me. I'm probably biased, but I'm like, there's no way they talked about this Ohio State team being the greatest defense of all time and our guys pushing them. Man, I seen Cooper push the big D lineman like 5 yards, and I'm like, that's the first rounder. Then I'm watching Francis push 92. I don't even know if he played. But I'm watching him push the little homie Keyota Jackson.
Right.
And I'm like, these are the – oh, yeah, we going to win this game. There's no way they're going to beat us. And then, yeah, like you say, once we went down there and scored – with the Fletcher play, I was like, oh, yeah, we got him. You know what I'm saying? And then, obviously, you know, they came back with the long pass with JJ. And that was my whole thing. I kept telling everybody, listen, let JJ do what JJ do. Don't let nobody else do what they do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? JJ going to do what he do regardless. And that was the good game plan. You know, JJ.
Contain him. Yeah, it's hard to contain. You know, we tried some one-on-one stuff. I remember you saying, man, why are we guarding him one-on-one? I agree. I'm like, give these guys a chance, but this is a tough kid to guard, man. Like, watching him play is a thing of beauty. I ain't going to lie to you. Every time I watch Jeremiah Smith play, a little part of me just be like, why? Why? You know, but, you know, great game from him individually. The other probably big moment early on, right? So after we get the touchdown, you know, we get the drive, like D-Ross said, man, what a beautiful play. Think it caught everybody off guard. Then, you know, we're on defense, and that the man, probably the prettiest pick six I've seen. Man,
but
I'm
remember,
remember
before the pick six, though, before the pick six, I think Bain had ended up just getting a sack.
Yeah,
end up getting the sack. So he took them out of they were still in field goal range, but they wasn't there. They wasn't close.
And they kick him, even hitting it. Yeah, they kick him. They kick him and shake.
They wasn't close to the goal line. And then next, you know, that's the the next play, man. I tweeted a question like, you know, which one was better, either the Trajan Vander pick or the Scott pick? And obviously it's the Scott pick because it means more. It means more. Yeah. And then it happened. It happened at a time where it was like, dang, they just got down here. All right, they're going to get some type of points. You know what I'm saying? Either a touchdown or maybe a field goal if the kicker could make it. And then they said hike. And I seen Bain go so fast. I was like, Bain going to either sack him or block the ball. And I wasn't even paying attention to Scott. And then I was like, I look and I say, oh, Zero running down the field. I don't know what's going on. Like,
man.
Yeah.
Jumped
in
so beautifully.
And I tell everybody, that is the first time in my lifetime that I ever seen somebody jump a bubble screen like that and take a pick six. If y'all have seen it before, whether college, professional, high, let me know. I've never seen nobody jump.
It happened before. It happened. You know, it happened. But I think to that extent, because like you say, JJ, he was guarding JJ. He was guarding JJ, and then they sent the tight end in motion. So on that type of particular play, you don't expect anybody to jump anything because you like he got two blockers in front of him.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like he just smelled it right away.
Yeah, like the way Keontae explained, he say, "Man, listen, coach told me, man, if you could go get it, go get it. Just don't miss." And he went and got it, man.
Yeah, JJ was going to block. He went to block and leverage, right? And he had good form. Would have been a good block, but Keontae's step completely different than where he thought. So if you look at it, he's twisting in to push him on the block, and he just completely slips under. And I mean, he just read him the whole time, he's staring him down, and he was like, "Thank you, you know, what a gift." He's 25, you know, tall. I'm like, "Hey, man, get you some 25 year old baby."
Yeah, man. He ain't 25, man. He's 24, but still.
Whatever. Hey, look at
him. 28. Hey, this is in the playoffs, so they can't talk about old people. But even on that play, Bain read the play too, because Bain even went on the outside and it blocked Satan's vision. So if Bain didn't do what he did, Satan might have hesitated and just
might pulled it back or something.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, just in terms of you playing your best ball and everybody's doing their assignment, man, on defense.
Yeah, hard to beat. So that took us, you know, you're going to have 14-0. Man, I'm feeling like, you know, like my dog Kel say, like a bullfighter. Like, I don't know, bro. This shit could get ugly. Like, I was like, oh, man, don't let it get ugly.
Well, like, it should have got worse than that. Remember, they took the first down away from back.
Yeah.
Then we went down there.
Fletcher fumbled. No, Fletcher fumbled. Remember.
Still. And, I mean, when we got the ball back, we drove down the field. And then we in field goal range. And then Beck takes a sack, and then we have a negative play, and then we're out of field goal, and then Mario just basically like, okay, yeah, we're just going to take this thing into halftime when it was 14 up. But it could have gotten worse. Like, it could have been 21-0 at half. Well, I think if it was 21-0 at half, them people don't score at all.
But you guys, don't forget, X, like I said, Fletcher fumbled. So that took some points off the board. If he had never fumbled, you know what I'm saying?
And if we were 21-0, they're not taking that long, because that first drive for them after the first drive of the second half, I think they took like 5-6 minutes off the clock.
It was more than that. It took eight.
Yeah.
But I will say, Heather, I will say this. After that drive, Heatherman adjusted immediately, and they didn't get nothing else after that. That's what I like. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the second half, because second half, like I said, they was running. They went to 12, 12, what do they call it, 12 man or whatever the case may be, with two tight ends and all that, 12 personnel. And they were successful on that drive. It was running. So when I seen that, I was like, oh, man, boy, I hope they don't just start running all over us. But Heatherman adjusted to it.
I knew he was
and he did his thing. Yeah, man.
I was like, all right, they got to drive. You know, and that's the thing in football. It's a momentum game, right? So you got to be able to absorb that momentum for a second and then steal it back, right? They're going to get their moment where they'll be able to fight you back. Because they'll figure something out, right? That's just how it's going to go. You figure out something, they figure out something. So, you know, but I think what you was able to see kind of back to X point from the giddy up though, man, was just the amount of physicality. My lady used to work for Ohio State. She got her, actually she has her degree, her nursing degree from Ohio State. And so she knows, she's familiar with them. She said the thing that a lot of people, so she let me know that a lot of they people in Columbus know this too. Ohio State just play a soft schedule. And that's typically what it is. She said, my lady says, is like, yeah, but they always play this week schedule. And then, you know, they have the easier path, right? Not that they're not talented. They are. But I think one of the big keys for this, us in this game, I don't think they play nothing like us all season. And I said that pregame, right? Like, I just don't think, look at their schedule. Who have they played that presents anything that Miami presented to them? The closest thing would maybe be Michigan, but I don't think Michigan has the pass rush this year to kind of be, you know, be in that same conversation. And I also don't think their O-line is up to snuff as it usually is.
And so the coach is checking OnlyFans during the game too.
Yeah. I forgot about cuz, yeah. And you got a coach that's lost in the sauce. Still prayers up for that brother, man. You never coach in that league again, but somebody will need you at a local high school or something at some point. Learn your lesson.
Damn, show can't trust him at no high school.
Oh, freaky man.
Yeah. That's a bad fella, man. Anyway, I can talk about Jerome, brother Moore, for at least another hour. I'm going to leave him be. Just send some prayers away. I think it was a game that at no point was the outcome to me questionable, because I knew we would adjust after that opportunity. We, you know, where they held the ball, they ran it really well. Of course, the holes, we not getting everybody talking about we getting held. Yeah, of course, like they all of a sudden just get great at running against us all of a sudden just through a little bit of scheme change. I was like, they're getting away with some shit, but I'll say this, the refs didn't throw many flags.
No, they let us play. They let both teams play.
They let them play, yeah. They said
this ain't going to be on us this time.
And I think, and I think there was probably, in my opinion, maybe the only that one egregious call with Beck not getting the first. Matter of fact, when he got it, I went to go pee because I knew he got it. So I was like, oh, perfect time to go, you know, hit the head real quick. I'll be right back. I get back, and I think y'all texted in chat or whatever. I was like, huh?
And usually they only do that when the quarterback slides, but he dove forward.
Yeah, right. He went forward, which was a first down. I mean,
he's good for a yard and a half, too.
Like, they said, they said the first down. The other play, the other pass interference was blatant on CJ. They like, man, the ref,
forgot about
who
that
the announcement even said, he like, man, that's a flag.
Like, yeah.
They finna start doing what they do. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't gonna lie, that made me go, all right, they go to bullshit. But
yeah,
we weathered the storm. And then I guess long story less long, man. Basically, we was able to finish them off. Just put the nail in the coffin. You know, JJ got that touchdown. And again, you just hope to contain somebody like that. He did his thing, he got his numbers and got in the end zone. But I think when it all came down to it, we knew we could just do what we want to do. I think it was well established that our offensive line was way better than their defensive line. That defensive line is honestly food. Like, I don't there's nothing impressive. I still like the D-tackle. I still think bro, you know, nice. But even he got bullied a couple times. You know, he made a play and then wanted to do the cam celebration. I was like, well, you've been eating a little dirt tonight too. So, but okay, I'm going to let you live. The
92-1, I was like, okay, let me see. They say, oh, dude got more sacks than Bane and Mesidor. I'm like, okay. Did he play? Like,
yeah, I'm about to say, I ain't hear his name all night.
Did he play?
Talking about the dude who said they beat us 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh, Curry. Yeah. Curry. That's his name. Yeah. I'm like, that's just loser talk, number one. And you had your chance. Y'all just came off a loss. So I don't really want to hear about, like, not being prepared and this. You just tasted an L. You just did this.
Man,
and I guess how you got beat in that one? These guys are physical. These guys, they're not used to it.
I knew that D-line was food when I was looking out there at Ballman out there moving people. I was like, oh, yeah, this going to be
food. 87 getting off. It got to be something sweet out there. But, yeah, man, I think awesome for just the fan base. You know, I was like, all right, y'all, we got to calm down. It wasn't a natty. It felt damn near like one.
It felt like it, bro.
Damn near did. The high felt that good. And then I was like, hey, we ain't done yet, though. Like, this is a good win. This is a statement win for the program. So I'm figuring, all right, this should really go our way. And it does set you up nice for, you know, a good feeling for the upcoming games. So
it was Ohio State. Ohio State. So everybody, I think Miami fans took it personal because of the 0-3. You know what I'm saying? They took it personal because 0-3. And like I said earlier, I said, well, you know, we did beat them in 2011, the last time we played. So I wasn't even worrying about the 0-3 thing because I'm like, it is what it is. But, yeah.
But that one ain't mean shit. You know what I mean? It was a W. But go ahead,
see, the thing is, I think, yeah, we saying, yeah, it don't mean nothing. But I think for a lot of people that really endured it, and know that a championship was stolen from us to prevent Ohio State from going to the national championship and then beating them in a major bowl game. I mean, granted, this is not the national championship.
No, this one means something. But
yeah, it means a lot. This is not like the Pop-Tarts Bowl
I'm talking about the 2011 game when we beat them.
So this, I think, yeah, man, this kind of, not say it don't take away. If we win the championship, yes, it kind of, you know what I'm saying? It kind of X's out what we did when we, you know, that controversial. But, man, it felt good to beat them because you think about it. If we would have lost Ohio State, oh, my gosh, bro.
This game shows we ain't going nowhere, neither even after this year. That's what our whole Ohio State game meant, too. Like, right. Miami here now.
And another thing with it is we've lost so many kids to Ohio State. We've won some more recent battles, but, you know, the best player in the nation is playing on the wrong side of the football, you know, yeah. And they was mad at him. The Ohio State fans were mad at him for showing all the love after the game. And it's like, well, that's what we've been saying, bro. This is what he really supposed to be anyway.
He
know everybody over there. He's been playing with them since a kid. It ain't no animosity between these guys, you know, so. Yeah, of course he showed love to coaches and players and, you know, staff over in Miami. He's very familiar with them. So I thought that was a dope moment, honestly, to see him just go out there and remain humble in the moment, right? Like, he took the loss. I know it stung. And he could have just, you know, took his ball and went home and just ran up in the locker room. He's like, nah, he's my people, and I'm definitely going to show him love. I heard him say, y'all boys going to win this shit. You know, so – It was support at that point. The game over now, so that was a dope moment. I like to see. I know.
He don't hate Miami. He love Miami. He just at Ohio State. you know what I'm saying?
He made a business decision.
I get it. It was scary, and you know he had people in his ear, and so that was his ultimate decision. I understand that. I ain't mad at it. You know he got the people scared. I guess today because he put something up. I don't even know what it was. Did y'all actually catch it?
He was
in the locker room with his headphones on, and then the song that he was playing was called like Save Me or something like that from somebody. Yeah, I can't remember who it was by. Yeah, by Meek Mill. So I guess they thought that he was saying save him from Ohio State, and you know what I'm saying? He was on I guess he was on IG, and he was like at one of the shoe shops in Miami. So people, you know, was losing their mind over that, man.
Which is crazy because you would think the mighty Ohio State wouldn't go crazy about a player. Like, don't y'all
right. Especially
y'all
one.
Get who y'all want to get? So exactly. What, he's just one player. Or do y'all know that if y'all don't have him, y'all not going to be good? Like, I think that's what they figuring out.
And another reason why this win was so big and why we had, like, we were able to enjoy it was, first off, they fan base gave us no respect going into that game. And, like, even the national meet, like, we – this game, it's not that the U is back, but we up there now. Like, and it's proof for those – for winning Lightfoot, getting Justin Scott, like, winning those recruiting battles with them. probably means we're going to win some more now, especially some up in that Midwest area too. And that's another reason why this game was so big. Because had we lost, you know, that's probably another two cycles of a kid saying, "Oh, y'all can't beat Ohio State."
Well, it almost started with DJ Jacobs. You know, he ended up committing Ohio State. So us beating them took that sour out. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah. the team you was really supposed to commit to just beat the team you committed to. You
know what I'm saying? So, that boy's bagged up.
Pop had his own shirt on.
I think they did that, honestly, just despite us. Because, like, you know, everything was heard was that it was 10 minutes before he went live, basically, when he called them and told them, because everything was Miami. Every news outlet, anybody in the know, knew it was Miami, right? And then last 10 minutes, I think they did that strategically to kind of send a message. And they was like, just up the bag, pay whatever, go up, whatever they're doing, pay more. Because I think they wanted that to be a bit of a psychological shock to the system too, to, you know, kind of rob us of a player, because we don't rob them of a couple. But, you know,
yeah, but that was a dumb move on the end, because he's not signing with that team, man. It's but like you say, I think they did that to kind of like make us take our mind off the actual game. Like, oh yeah, well, we just took the top recruit from y'all, and
right,
he coming to Ohio State, so yeah, it's gonna be like that on the field too. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I really Mario, feel like it was a move like that.
Yeah, Mario kept it. This business, losing the recruiting December ain't gonna hurt us. You know what I'm saying?
But that's like when a coach do a trick play early. You know they worried. So for them to
exactly.
pull that and actually spend resources before they playing us. They was worried up there.
Remember when we did the last one? I told y'all once he took over play calling, he was worried. It's no way you're gonna go through the whole entire season,
right,
and then you're gonna switch up and say, "Listen, I'm gonna take over play calling," and give a lame excuse, talk about, "Oh well, Hartline got he just took over another job, so I want to kind of take a lot off his take." What the hell type
he
of?
Was there.
He was right there. He was on the field. Like
he was on the field.
Man, you going to change? Oh yeah, nah. He was worried. I told him he was
going to be there, and I was like, "Wait, he here? So why are you changing play calling now?" Like that was weird to me, but you know, I think he. I don't know if he was hurt or whatever, but I mean, you got to understand the man eventually got to get a job. You can't sit there and just recruit wide receivers for you forever. I'm so happy Brian Hartline got that job so people could see he really not like that. I was like, "Oh, you think you're going to do something to USF, huh? All right. Hold my beer. I have a very sneaky suspicion that is not going to go how you think it's going to go. But we'll see."
Yeah, me too. But I will say this, right? Like he has snagged a few players. You know what I'm saying? The portal. So
yeah, I think Ohio State cast offs.
Yeah. And then I don't know. I seen somewhere where they said, like, I guess Chance and Ray Ray looking to go to South Florida too. And sure. I think they about to get Chris Johnson. So
sure. Well, Chris Johnson, they saying UCF. But
I thought it was USF.
Antoine Jackson went there too. Antoine Jackson over there, that one that was when he committed to us, and then he went to East Carolina.
He's at UCF
now. You know, I'm not to go off on a tangent about it, but it's a whole different thing to recruit at Ohio State, man. Like when you just bringing in all, you know, the brand speak for itself, so the talent is easier to rake in. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out, but I guess get into next topic, man. I want to talk about the portal's going absolutely nuts, right? Like, man, there are teams that, like Ohio State included, is losing, a plethora of players. But I think, again, this is just what you're going to see from henceforth, where even these talented teams, you know, quote unquote, nobody's going to be really, it's going to be hard to be 3-deep. It's gonna be really. I don't think anybody's gonna be really, truly 3-deep. Not across the board.
Yeah,
you have a position. You have a position. Yeah, like maybe you 3-deep at you know, safety or something like that. But across the board, where like Georgia and Bama's been, that shit done with.
Georgia probably the only team.
I don't think they no more.
I mean, they still there, man. They still there. Like even this team that they just had, they were still. Like I always say, man, you need 70 to 75 players to have a good football team, and Georgia was right there. I think Miami, we was close to like 60, 65.
Well, you look at what Georgia took, right? They took some shit from us that wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And then one of them gone, the Kansas. God bless them, man. You know, I never talk about the kid, but don't talk about my program either. Don't go over there, grass green of horse shit. You know, and shit on the program that gave you an opportunity, number one. You know, you were not a part of all the winning over there, and you'd been over there a whole time. Just enjoy the winning. No, why is Miami on your mind at that point in time? But yeah, he gone again, so maybe it was you, not us. So we'll see how you finish off over there at Kansas, bro. But yeah, portal's going crazy right now. Quiet for us in general. So I just kind of want to get into what y'all think we need portal wise. I think it's going to be a pretty small take this year. I'm thinking, just my own personal opinion, I think between 8 and 10 guys this time around.
Yeah, I mean it'll go from like that 8 to 10 to 12. It depending on the availability of players also, because if a good player is good and he fits what Miami want, they gonna take him. You know what I'm saying? So it's quiet now. I think Mario's like I'm not even gonna say that. They on phones and they doing their thing. It's just he don't want that noise to distract from what's going on Thursday night. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. Like, man, listen, the coach is gonna do their thing and we're gonna keep it. But to us, you know what I'm saying? Everybody else, y'all will find out when it's time to find out. But other than that, focus on the actual thing that's going to happen Thursday night. They doing their due diligence. They making calls, talking to players. One thing I would say, too, man, is the some of the players that have entered the portal, a lot of them are ridiculous with the numbers they talking. And I'm like, there's no way you finna get this money and you didn't start, or you know, stuff like that. Like, what's going on with like?
I feel like some schools are so desperate on filling their roster, or they might.
Well, yeah, because remember you don't have that second wave of the portal. So a lot of them just saying, "Listen, boy, let's take them while they jump." You know what I'm saying? And get them now. And then I talked to my other homeboy who's a coach. He was saying, one thing they want to do is they want to get all the players before Miami get them. Now, like, dang, like, okay,
like, yeah, which is like, which is crazy.
Everybody getting players, and y'all worry about Miami.
Yeah, which is crazy. That's why I see why Mario does what he does. Like, when if he wants to bring somebody to visit, he's not putting the sources out so they can tweet it out or do whatever, because we know when that happens, we know these guys be like, oh, wait, don't go to Miami. Hey, I want you to come here. I pay you this. Come here. Come do this. And then they're not coming. So I learned that's how we operate, and I'm okay with it. Another thing, because I got a few things. I don't see anybody else hitting the portal. You know what I'm saying? Like, we literally are in a champion. Yeah, I don't see nobody else leaving. I think if they wanted to leave, I think that they wouldn't.
It's probably gonna be like three to four.
And them boys trying to enjoy that ride.
But
they're not gonna hit right now.
They might as well chill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, they're gonna have to hit the portal before the championship game, because championship game is on what, the 19th, and the portal closes like on the playoff.
Yeah. If you're still playing, but you get it, like, you get an extension.
Yeah, but it kind of sucks because a lot of schools, like, they enroll in spring. I think, like, January 21st is, like, the cutoff or whatever the case may be, where mostly everybody starts. So, but as far as, like, portal takes, like I said, I think we're going to go quarterback. I think at least one quarterback. I see one, maybe two wide receivers, depending on who's out there and available. I see no tight ends. I don't think we're going to take no tight ends. We don't need to. Offensive line,
we
I think
we're definitely taking the tight end, because remember, we just lost Brock.
And Bauman leaving.
and then Bowman.
But we're bringing in Briggs and we're bringing in Mueller, and then you still
Mario needs somebody who played the game. He's not putting all them freshmen in that game like that.
So. No, but what I'm saying is like we still got Luka Gilbert. I know we high on Luka Gilbert. You know what I'm saying? Though. Yeah, he has played.
Yeah,
Luka Gilbert has played.
Yeah, but I see what X saying, like, because Mario's done it.
As far as a veteran, like a blocker or something like that. I get it.
I think they bring a body for sure at tight
end. Okay. Offensive line, I don't talk about
Riley Williams coming back. That's a possibility, man, but I mean, I wouldn't do it. If I was Mario,
I wouldn't do it.
Right. Nah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Riley, I like you as a player. You hurt my feelings. No. You shouldn't have did that shit. That's my feeling. Oregon State, bro. That was mean spirited, man. You're my feeling, bro. Anyway, go ahead.
Offensive line, I could see us possibly going after at least a tackle, maybe. Maybe just one. I don't think we're gonna go crazy in offensive line because I think we're pretty set. Unless Markell Bell decides that he's gonna go to the league, then I could see us probably taking two. But I think we're okay. Defensive line,
a tackle and a guard.
Yeah, at defensive on the line, I think that's where most of our Porter players probably gonna come from. I think we're gonna at least two D tackles and probably one DN. I know that the guy from Pittsburgh who just hit the portal, Francis Baru or whatever it is, the African kid. I know we was after him real heavy before we tried to flip him from Pittsburgh, but he ended up staying there. He was a freshman, All-American, All-ACC freshman All-American. So I can see us going after him. At linebacker, I want the Cal kid, the kid from Cal. Number zero. No, the other one did. No, Luke Farrelly, the other. So both of Cal linebackers hit the portal.
The one you got to know, contact.
He committed to
Clemson.
Yeah, he committed. Luke Farrelly, he committed to Clemson. The other one, he hasn't committed to nobody yet.
He got a do not contact clause on his.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, well, whatever. However, you got that. And then in the DB room, we don't need no corners. I just think that if we get Parrott and Thornton, oh, man, we straight, bro. That's all we need right now. Parrott and Thornton. And then a kicker. We need to get a kicker.
Yeah, yeah. I even seen him attaching us to the Illinois kicker.
But he committed to Texas A&M.
Oh, he already did. Nah,
they didn't let him get up out of there. But see, a kicker just hit the portal with 3 years left. He was actually pretty decent. Yeah, Louisville kicker. He just hit the portal with 3 years left. So I mean, we got to do something.
I ask this. I think the position wise, quarterback, wide receiver, definitely a tight end, veteran DN probably. Just kind of solidify the room a little bit. D tackle to replace Simpson. Yeah, and then I don't think you necessarily quote unquote need a safety, but yeah, if you can get the Coy Parrott kid for sure. You bring him in and the Thornton kid.
Yeah, now we need safety because if we don't
have experience back there once you lose Thomas.
We'll be straight young and we don't get
right.
We'll be like, remember Fitzgerald, he'll be a true sophomore. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to go with Amari, who will be a freshman, a redshirt freshman. What's the other guy?
Dylan Day.
Dylan, yeah, well.
If he sticks around. Well, this is what I mean by that. If it's not the home run of Coy, I think maybe then you don't necessarily reach too much. Or you get somebody, but you just worried about bringing a veteran in, not necessarily spending a lot of money just
look, I get it. He's a backup or whatever, but I love what Dylan Day do, man. On special teams and everything else.
He's had some moments on the field where I'm like, yeah, get him out the game. And I'm high on him. But, we got Amari and we got Chris Ewald. You know, that's another promising guy.
This one got the snaps yet.
Yeah. And I'm I don't know why 25, what's his name?
Jedias Richard.
Jedias Richard. I don't know why he want to go back to corner. I mean,
he's smart. More room in the safety room, And you got
a nickel. So and you can play nickel.
Right. If you could be back physically, I think that would be the move for him. So I guess I ask this. If you could get one guy out the portal, who would it be?
I want the linebacker from the one that's from Pittsburgh because
Rasheem Biles.
It's crazy because our linebacker play is what's really kept us from having the number one defense in the nation.
Yeah, you don't never hear nothing. You don't hear nothing from our current linebackers for real. Like you hear up a Saints name here and there, but that's a good one.
And they haven't. It's not like they have played bad, but it's like we don't have that.
They're not changing the game.
We don't got the Denzel Perryman
secondary and D line changing.
Yeah, we ain't got them. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I
agree.
I like that. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree. I was about the same thing. The linebacker, Rasheem Biles. If we can get him, I think we in business. I think we solidified. Like I said, I would love the Cal linebacker, but if he got a no contact tag, ain't nothing I can do about that. Because I think he legit. I think he real legit. That Cal linebacker.
Is that somebody else I'm thinking
of? No, a USC linebacker visited Florida State.
Okay.
Another one of them Hawaiian kids. Yeah, another one Hawaiian kid.
The name, and I was like, is that Cal? Okay.
I seen somebody tweeted talking about, we bringing in the one who visited Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
We got guys coming in with
an Yeah, I saw that, bro.
I saw that one. Yeah. That was funny as hell. He did look slim as hell.
Bro, he looked like a corner.
Especially for one that's already in college. Like, if that's a kid, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, you got to put
at a major program.
Yeah.
Especially if you're strength and conditioning.
Right.
Yeah, if your strength and conditioning ain't up to par, man, ooh wee.
They're shooting bad, man. I can't wait to see them again next year. 6-6 would be a great improvement. That's crazy.
But that'd be a great 6-6 would be a great improvement for them.
Yeah, that'd be a big turnaround season for them. Boy, they stinking it up. The fact that they was even looking at DJ Lagway, I was like, what are we talking? Imagine being a good player right now and going to Florida State.
Hey, you know what's funny, Larry? So that's the thing. Like, when I see the fans getting mad, like, I'm like, bro, if you take your goggles off, if you was a highly elite, productive college football player, and you know what's going on there, you don't even know if Norvell going to finish the season. Like, they're not producing anything. They're not developing shit. They're like, why would you go?
And they're losing.
And they're losing, bro.
There's no stability there.
The fans don't turn on them. The fans don't turn on them. Like, why?
I'm telling you, whoever takes that job next, they gonna have to rebuild that shit from the rubble, because they gonna have hard times for at least another 2 to 3 years. But they got to get the right person for that. I mean, no, keep Mike. I mean, keep Money Mike. You know, forever.
Mike gonna borrow time. He already know it too. Can't afford to right now. So it's just like, hey, we just got to get through this, and then we'll get on the other side of it.
The thing with them is, you just took a transfer from Stanford and Auburn, right? When you had Anthony Calandria, right? Which is, to be honest, I think he would have been a better quarterback for them than what they got, because he wasn't bad at Virginia. He got UNLV to 10 games. He won 10, 11 games at UNLV.
It would have been the same thing as this year, bro.
I think, because he's a better passer. He's a better quarterback than TC.
That's what I'm saying. That's a one read.
That's
the same thing.
I said it when they took Gus. What are we doing? I'm good with it as a Miami fan, but if you're going to Gus Malzahn in the year 2025, revive your offense, you're doing something very wrong.
I ain't worried about them people, but I love when every time they recruit a quarterback, they use that Cam Newton comparison. Four different Cam Newton ones he had over the years.
I respect it. Gus is keeping his job, man. He got the success.
Hey, I was just about to say it don't matter who they bringing in. Gus is still calling the plays. That offense is outdated.
If you don't realize that it's time to move into a new direction and you need some young blood to really reinvigorate what you got going on, that's everything that Mike got going on in that program. He let his best recruiter go. He let Pat Surtain go. Like, nothing they doing. Yeah. And I think part of that is hiring his friend, because he's like, hey, you want to get a payday real quick? I'm out of here after this year. You want to, hey, Pat, I don't know you like that. You know this shit falling apart. I'm out of here. Like, he knows he's done. This is more than likely the very last year. They're not going to win a lot of games next year. They just can't. But back to the subject at hand. So, Meezy, who would you get if you could just pluck somebody?
Mine's Biles or honestly, man, I really like that Coy Parrott, because the year he was with Heather, man, he was damn near. He was a true freshman, I think, but he was damn near like one of the best safeties in the nation, like to do it all.
Yeah, he was all American. He was all American.
That's what I'm saying. I feel what X saying about Biles, because I don't even know if really we don't have no linebackers like on the roster like him. I don't even know
what we have. What young bull do now? I want, because we've been too high on bro to just, you know, see what.
Oh, you talking about? Can you talk about Kaelin Riley?
Yeah, right.
I heard he might transfer.
I think we got players. My thing is, I'm like, okay, if you saying is a guy that's available, like,
yeah, no, you're right. I want him too. I'm just saying, like, he's saying we don't have it. I'm like, we may if Wiley is as advertised. He looked the part, but you say he heard he might transfer me?
No, that's what I mean. That's what I was hearing. I'm not sure.
Nah, he's gonna be a king, man.
He's awesome opportunity next year.
We might have something like Biles on our roster, but it ain't gonna be nothing like Biles is doing like right now.
And then you got Torrey.
He's done it on the field, so that's what
right. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Torrey trying to get a seventh year, and it's like, Torrey.
Oh, hey man, we can't deny the man. He laid his body on the ground.
Yeah, he made a hell of a play.
I get it. He just know he might not play.
Take that one off of the linebacker. It's something about that one. They go crazy and make all these great, like, hard-hitting plays, and then they have you scratch your head and cover it sometimes. Like, what the hell is that? For me, I think I would go with – he's not even, like, my favorite player. I'm kind of up and down on my opinion of this player, but I would just probably go Raiola. Because we really, I think it'd be dangerous to go into the year without a veteran quarterback. Even if he gets beat out in camp, then that will make me feel that much better about what we.
But you'll take him over Leavitt.
Well, yes. Leavitt ain't coming. Leavitt would have been my talent pick, right? But everything I'm hearing is boy got attitude. Don't nobody want him really.
Yeah, I've been hearing about
like,
that.
Too. Like that's kind of like I think.
Oh, you see what Kentucky did.
And you got to.
You saw what Kentucky did.
Right.
Once he left Kentucky flipped the old boy from Nebraska, Kenny Minchie.
Right, and everybody said that he was going to Kentucky. That was
Kentucky.
So I think he's kind of about to be playing at Coastal Carolina. and I think it's because of attitude. I'm serious. Like I think he's screwing up things to where he's gonna have to show some humility. Where people are gonna be like, nah, we're not fucking because. You know what you would do to a program when your quarterback has bad attitude and comes in with a prima donna type, you know, walk around.
Yeah.
That ain't going to play well. That's not going to play well. So I honestly think his camp and his attitude is going to end up making him fall down the level of football he should be playing.
Yeah, he's going to have to kind of do a little bit of rehab. Yeah.
I think he has to do a little quarterback yet.
Did LSU get a quarterback yet?
No, they were just so Leavitt was just they went to dinner with Lane and Charlie Weiss and all that. They had a big old thing with them, so they gonna get them.
Signing with LSU because you know Lane don't care nothing about no attitudes and none of that. Lane just wanted to throw the ball.
Yeah, attitude too.
Play, so
then Langway visiting Baylor tomorrow.
Still trying to see if they could get him down on the visit. You know Mario ain't going for the attitude, but yeah, they still trying to get him down on the visit. And his numbers is really crazy. Like he won't by six. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's why I made that tweet. Like, man, listen, Miami. I thought we should have went after Barnett. know what I'm saying? Because we could have got Barnett for cheap, you know what I'm saying? And when I'm talking about cheap, I'm talking about maybe 1.5, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And then you could spend money in all the other areas. But if you're going to go pay a quarterback $5-6 million, we better not lose a game. I'm just keeping it a buck. Like, that's NFL money. No, that's NFL money. There's no way you're going to pay somebody that money and think they're going to come in here and see Levy got the attitude. He's going to have an attitude and we losing games. And no, I mean, that's just dumb. So,
right. Nah, no doubt.
So,
Like I said, Rayola, just because I do think he does have some talent and maybe the system will work out for him. Like I say, even if he get beat, all right, then that means we got something, you know, young that's really ready to rock. What you about to say, D-Rock?
Hey, so yeah, Nebraska just got Anthony Calandria. They just signed him. They also because they brought two quarterbacks in. They brought in Calandria and they brought in the kid from Missouri, Bo Prabula, whatever his name is. But yeah. I guess they took
Larry. I've been all over this portal stuff, but when you said Dylan Rayola, I forgot he was even in the fucking portal, bro.
Well, that go to D-Rob theory.
Measy. This is my theory, right? I'm gonna be honest with you. I think we got him in the bag, and this is why, right? Since he's been in the portal, you haven't heard about him taking no visits. You ain't heard nothing from his team. You ain't heard from nothing about him being pursued. You haven't heard anything. The only thing that we've heard, right, is what people have been IG stalking, and they just seen like most of his family was just in Miami this past weekend.
Don't he got a, because I remember him coming out of high school, that was like, don't he got
his
like
grandfather
a,
with the Miami. His grandfather played at Miami in the 70s.
So it
just don't make sense. Like all these quarterbacks flying off the board, but you don't hear nothing about Rayola as far as going anywhere. Arizona State just about to get a kid from Michigan. So no, we know he's not going to Arizona State. So it's like, what's really happening?
With Rayola, the word around his agent is probably kind of messing it up for him, man, because they're doing a lot of crazy talk. And it's rightfully so. Like I told people years ago, man, once these college kids start getting agents, the agent's going to take advantage of them, and a lot of them going to do some bad business, because you could do the bad business in college and get away with it. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it professionally. Professionally, they not going for that. But in college, they like, man, listen, you could hire a nigga off the street. He could be your agent. They don't care.
Right.
We're seeing that in real time, too.
Real shit. Yeah, the guy I would have probably wanted, honestly, would have probably been, was one of my early first pick was Simmons, but he's going to Missouri, which was kind of rumored to be the case the entire time. I thought he would have been a hell of a get. We'll see how
he does. Miami did even try to look his way, which was stupid, because the fan, then, like, last year he told Miami he wanted to come, and Miami wasn't even looking, so I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah. We'll see how it all pans out. A lot of X's still left. You know, I think things are happening, like, you know, D-Rob X said. And they just focused on keeping the noise down. Because, like, I even saw, and this was from, like, a Minnesota guy. I think I sent it to the group chat or whatever. That word on the streets was Parrish was already basically committed to Miami. So we'll see. I also heard Oregon in the mix, I believe.
He visiting Texas Tech tomorrow.
Texas Tech. Yeah.
But remember Larry and I said, I think whoever tweeted out in the account, I was like, remember, the guy Biles, he was coming to Miami on a visit, but they didn't want the news to be public.
Right, exactly.
And that's how Mario and them playing. And they don't want a lot of the news to be public. They just want to, you know what I'm saying, do their thing and go about their business, because they don't want to take the focus off of Thursday
what's
night.
What's going on, yeah. So, oh, man, listen, this is a big game coming up. Matter of fact, let's get into it. Ole Miss, only thing I don't like about this game so far early on is we favorite. Like it,
I don't like it either, bro. Keep it how
I was like, man. I like the underdog role. I want to keep the disrespect rolling. What's going on here? What's happening?
Well, I think Vegas just got us is the favorite, but I've seen a lot of talk that Ole Miss gonna beat us because
they got this
amazing quarterback. Our D line is not gonna be able to get to him because he throws the ball fast.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's not gonna be able to the score because Ole Miss could score. And I'm like, listen, it don't matter what y'all say, man. Them people got to line up on the football field. Like, and my whole thing is I don't even think Ole Miss coaching staff is that focused, man. I think the OC who's actually going to call the game wise, I don't think he's focused because he know Lane not playing when Lane say, listen, y'all better – all right, I know y'all over there with the little run and stuff, but we got to get this thing rolling over here at LSU. You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's crazy that Lane took him, but then he letting him stay. I think that's insane.
I think Lane just saying, listen, stay, because they – like all them coaches getting a bonus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, I'm not going to stop you from getting your money.
But he got his bonus without even being there.
But he's still coach. Getting it.
Yeah. Coach, so he's gonna get it regardless.
Well, he negotiated that. He could have negotiated that for them too.
LSU was doing whatever he had to do to get him.
Exactly, Measy. Exactly.
Lane could have told them anything. They would have did it.
Exactly. He would have told them, man, bring Tekashi 6ix9ine to the house.
Lane selfish. Lane ain't negotiating for nobody. Man. He like, y'all niggas better get it how y'all live.
And Lane ego. I don't think he thought it was gonna be Georgia without him on the sidelines.
I don't think so either. And that's why I'm shocked he letting them keep going. Exactly. I think he thought they would lose to Georgia.
He got no choice though. That's the thing. Cause then you messed it up even further. You're making it more messy. The only thing he can do now is hope that Miami beats them in a way that, you know, and I think too what's gonna be key is the first two teams Ole Miss played were rematches, man.
Right.
So they didn't really have to go, you know, go dig in the crates and really prep. They kind of already had it. They've already done it. So now they're seeing Heatherman and Dawson with the week and they spending half their time at LSU campus. So that's why we favor it, to keep it real, because they're the sixth seed, but that part people can't ignore.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, it's still, you're right. This is the first time they hitting the, you know, opponent they haven't played yet. But again, they are the higher ranked seed. So it just, you know, it threw me off just to see that in general. But I guess let's just kind of look at the team, right? Obviously. Ole Miss, you know, under Lane and really before Lane too, I would say, was, you know, they kind of been known for being productive on the offensive side, producing a couple of top wide receivers. So this is going to be a high powered offense. Well, I'll say this. The strength of their team is their offense. I'll say that. And I think they've done well throughout the year, but I'm not one of these just, oh, it's the SEC. Kind of people, because to me it don't seem like, all right, look at Georgia. I know this will blow a lot of people's mind, but it's honestly been this way for a little while. They don't have better pass rush than we do. And that sounds crazy to people. Oh, it's Georgia. Georgia really has been kind of struggling at the pass rush.
Yeah, they don't. Georgia pass rush is horrible. Them boys just you're not gonna beat them running the ball.
Right.
You're not gonna beat them on the edge, but they're not gonna pass rush. So if you got some good offensive linemen who can – I mean, you don't really need no good offensive linemen because, again, they're not pass rushing. You know what I'm saying? They think it's a lot of effort when the quarterback running around and then next you know somebody just attack. Other than that, yeah, they don't pass rush pretty good. So
So I think I'll credit them for what they've done offensively because Lane is clearly an offensive guru type dude. That's why he's there. That's why he got this opportunity to, you know, put that team in the position it did. They're gone now, but some of it still sticks around. And Charlie Weiss Jr. is, you know, calling things and assuming it's going to be from the same stance, right? So, you know, they'll look to go tempo at times. They're definitely, they're pretty balanced. They'll try to run it at you as well. Kewon Lacy's probably, you know, one of the better running backs in the country. Shout out to Ole Miss. I'll say this, as a culture, they've been able to keep a lot of things together, wherein is, I think, only one player's going to LSU so far.
Yeah, I thought Lacy was going to go to LSU, but he not.
Yeah, Lacy's agreed to stay already. Chambliss, if he can get another year.
Oh, he's going to get it.
he's agreeing to stay.
You wouldn't do all that agreeing to stay and sign a contract if you didn't get word that more than likely you'll probably get that 6 year. That'll be stupid to do all that and they deny you.
I mean, it can't hurt. Castellanos tried to get it.
No, I don't think it was dumb. I think he's just trying to get his spot if it gets approved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's money. That's money in the bank. So, you know, he's a guy that moves around, gets rid of the ball fast, right? So, part of it will neutralize the pass rush to a degree. I think you saw the same thing early in the year when we played Louisville, right? Where Miller Moss tried to, you know, get rid of the ball real fast in order to neutralize the pass rush. I think you will see a lot of that in this game. But the question then becomes, all right, so that takes away a lot of your deep threat stuff. Are your playmakers going to be able to make plays on these, you know, quick release, short underneath things and turn them upfield against our secondary? And, you know, our linebacking core, will they be able to really turn the smaller receptions into bigger games? Because I don't think they run on us very well.
Remember, Larry, they wide receiver said they could run all their plays. They old line going to hold up.
Yeah, I heard that before. I heard similar talk in the past. He's okay. You know why I wasn't mad at that? I was like, well, he's not really wrong because it's still predicated on the quick pass game. So I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have to change too much. Now, he was wrong, I thought, about saying the O-line to hold up. I'm like, well, I mean, no, it's not that. It's that your offense is predicated on getting rid of the ball fast and getting it to the playmakers. They got three wide receivers that each have like 600 yards, if I'm not mistaken. So they do a good job at like balancing out the receivers and not knowing which poison you necessarily going to have to pick that game. You know, so you can't necessarily be like, oh, if we'll just neutralize this guy, we'll have our opportunities, or, you know, we'll be in a stronger position if we can neutralize that. They do a great job getting rid of the ball. And he also does a good job, Chambliss, of creating plays when things do break down. I'm breaking.
Yeah, he does an excellent job improvising, getting the ball out to the right players. They do a good job running the ball. And when I'm looking at the game, I'm looking at that's probably going to be one of the most focal points for the Canes is stopping the run. You know what I'm saying? Because you can stop the run and make them one-dimensional. Then I don't care how quick you get the ball out your hand. In the back of your head, you know the D-line is coming. You know what I'm saying? So We just gotta stop the run because Lacy he will tote that thing now. He will tote it. I think he got by like almost 1,400 something like that yards. And,
yeah, he got like 21 touchdowns.
Yeah, 20 something touchdowns. So he'll tote it. You know what I'm saying? But I just think, man, we gonna come out there and play Miami football, man. We gonna slow the game down, have some long drives offensively, because that's the thing that nobody really talking about. Ole Miss defense got to get on the field. You know what I'm saying? They defense got to get on the field. So,
right.
And we play Miami football. They don't got it. They can't match up with us.
I think we're going to run for almost 200 yards on them, to be honest.
Yeah, they can't match up with us at all. And then even if they try to stop the run, I think Beck would just come out there and have a FSU-type game on them. Cause Beck,
I think he can.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I think that's what they're going to try to do. Say, let's try to stop this run. And Beck just going to go out there and have one of those type of games. And then, as you know, everybody going to be like, oh, man, we knew Carson Beck was going to have a game. Man. Shut up.
Yeah, it'll flip narratives then. I actually heard a guy that covers Ole Miss. I think he does the locked on version for them or whatever. He said, if we hold them under 150 rush yards, we win. I was like, that's our goal, 150?
No, that's a high-ass number.
That's a high-ass number. I was like, brother, if we get 145, we're going to win. So, like, I think that's insane. That was a key to victory for him, was to hold us under 150. So that lets you know right there that a person who knows this team pretty intimately knows that you can definitely run on them. I think who they played early? Was it Tulane, right? Or was it James Tulane. Madison? Tulane. Yeah. I think they ran for like a buck 15. You know, and this is a team that had to play from behind in certain aspects, and they still was able to pull off some chunk runs. So I think that defense just doesn't leave any confidence, even from their side. That was just from a guy just ran into the clip. A guy from their side knows that we can't lean on this defense. And I think that's a tough way to go in any games with real good teams. Like, when you're going to play a good team, I got to know my defense can put some shit, you know, can stomp some shit out and put it into some shit, especially the run game. You know, to be vulnerable in every which way is man, that's terrifying to me. I never, you know, that was us last year. Like, that was us last year. That's why every game to me was so scary. Like, you know, people like, how y'all lose to Syracuse? Did you see our defense? That's how you lose to Syracuse. Syracuse had a quarterback that was, you know, going pro. Man, they tossing the ball all over the field. That's how we lost. So to me, for them to be entering this game and have really little to no confidence in their defense's ability to stop us, I don't really see their road to victory when we're running the ball really well, especially with a guy like Mark Fletcher, who's a bruising tight running back. And then, you know, we can, you know, we'll see about, I think this is a game where Pringle might even see more burn, because I don't think they're as physical a team as Ohio State. We saw, you know, Pringle got blown up on a play or two out there when he did get his couple of opportunities. You know, a little light ass still. He got still build a little strength up and do that type of thing. But I think it's a game where he can see more action too. I think we could get north of that 200 yards rushing. And then when it gets deep into the game and they're a little more exhausted, and they're a little more worn down, then you still got a guy like Marty Brown that can come in and deliver, you know, some more chunk run plays where, you know, like I said, you got to hit somebody. So I don't know. I'm really, like, without trying to be biased, I asked y'all, somebody tell me, how would you see Ole Miss pulling this off?
Chambliss having damn 400 passing yards. Like, we just, like, we can't score, we can't stop their offense to me. Or, like, honestly, I feel like if Ole Miss score like 30, to me, they can win.
Listen, the only way Ole Miss gonna win this game is Carson Beck gonna have to have one of those Louisville games or something like that. That's, they not winning this game.
I think it'd have to be like more like, because I don't think he can throw before on our defense.
Yeah, no. We're down 14 zip early. Like, they score, we fumble the first time we get the ball, then they come back and score again, and then we chasing the game. Long as we get the game in front of us, but in terms of you asking how can we lose, something like that, and then we off script, and, you know, it kind of like how the Louisville game went.
Right. And we had our chances then, and what really cost us was
one
interception by the quarterback. I mean,
yeah, to lose by four points. Both our losses, and we look at it like, that's the only way they could beat us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they basically saying. Everybody's saying, well, listen, Ole Miss is Louisville, or Ole Miss is SMU, and they better. I don't want to hear that better crap. They got to do it on the field. You know what I'm saying? And long as Beck and the offense don't do, you know what I'm saying, mess up or turn the ball over, it's no way this team, Ole Miss, is going to beat us. That's not bias. That's just from the eye test. I just don't think they got it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know offensively they got this amazing quarterback. Yeah, they got this offense running back and receivers. I just don't think they got enough on the field. And I'm just keeping it a buck. So.
I feel you. Go ahead,
D-Ro. Myself. So, I think we're gonna win this game. I think it's gonna be. I'm gonna be on. I think we're gonna win about double digits. The only way that they beat us. The only way.
Go ahead and give us that score prediction.
Oh, I am. I am. I think the only way they beat us, or if they had a chance to beat us, is if Lane Kiffin was on that sideline. And the reason why I say that is because of his ability, his play calling, like what he does, not what Charlie Weiss does. Granted, yes, Charlie Weiss is the OC, but we know that Lane is behind a lot of the stuff that they do. They're down. The only assistants that are back at Ole Miss is him and Kevin Smith. And we know why Kevin Smith is there. We already know why. He's a former Miami. He was a former running back coach at Miami. So he's going against Miami. So that's probably why he's there. Other than that, ain't no reason. I don't think that they're 100% focused. I don't think that because the fact that your OC was just on a visit, on a dinner with at LSU with the other guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't with the team and all that stuff. He was back in LSU. They just flew back to Ole Miss, what, today? It might have been today, early this morning. And I don't even know if they've even made it to – have they made it to Arizona yet?
I'm not sure.
Who that? Oh, you talking about Ole Miss. Well, yeah,
I don't know. They
supposed to make it the other day.
Yeah, so Mario was smart. We left early, get accustomed to the time zone, get accustomed to all that. Because that, I'm going to tell you, that time zone and them 3 hours behind is going to play a big factor. Because that jet lag and all that type of stuff, man, it is going to be there. So I think we're going to establish that run. I think Mark Fletcher going to get off again. Carson Beck is not going to make any crazy mistakes. Their defense is not that good. They don't got nobody that scares me. They don't have nobody that scares me. There's nobody on the defensive line where it's like, oh yeah, we got to block that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Texas A&M had one guy. We canceled him out. Ohio State had a guy. We canceled him out. They don't have that type of guy. Now, the Perkins guy at linebacker, he's pretty good. The Perkins guy that plays linebacker for Ole Miss, he's decent. But outside of that, like, none of that, nothing scares me on that defense.
What's your score?
What's my score?
Yeah.
I'm going to say
31-13.
Damn. Ooh.
Shit.
All right.
Boy, damn, Ryan.
And the reason why I say that is because I think they understand what's at stake. You, even though you're not technically the home team, if you get to national championship, you're going to be the home team. Like, that is what, 67,000 seats in that stadium. 60,000 of them are going to be Miami fans, regardless of who we play. Because Indiana's not traveling like that. Oregon's not traveling like that. They're going to have some diehards. Huh?
They're going to travel to the championship game, bro. Yeah.
I said they're going to travel to that game, bro.
I'll be honest with you. Listen, Maul,
did you see the Texas Tech and Oregon game? That stadium was empty, bro.
Right, yeah, because they know they might be Oregon. Oregon know they might be coming back, so I wouldn't fly for the quarterfinals either.
Bro, I think that's an excuse. Now you're giving it. Look, what? Well, shoot, look what we did. Look how our fans did. We helped pack out 100,000 seat stadium, and they couldn't pack out. Man, come on, man.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it'd be as lopsided as 60,000. But you might be right, bro. I'm be honest with you because,
bro, as soon as we win that game,
it's probably gonna be like 40 Miami, 40 something thousand, and whoever
Indiana, like they ain't used to being real good at football, man.
People, yeah,
like I don't think you like, let's keep it a beat. There ain't no Indiana football fan, like they just started. This year.
They ain't gonna be loud and shit. They gonna be sitting down.
They don't even know how to act yet.
Truth be told, I ain't gonna say I agree with D-Rob saying they not gonna travel, but I do think if Miami is in that game, I think, and I don't want to say intimidating for them because, but I don't think it's gonna be that. Like, I think, yeah, it's probably going to be between – Miami will have about between 40 to 50, and then the rest will be the other team. Because, it, right. listen, people from Miami are already saying, listen, I'm finna buy a ticket regardless. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like –
I'm trying to see about them tickets, man. Them tickets look crazy online so far.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they crazy online, man.
Yeah, insane. I said, bro.
So the only tickets I think that are available are like kind of like the assigned, like what they, because you know they give you like a certain amount to give, and then everything else is gonna be for the public. But I think the only tickets that's available are the ones that they have assigned, where it's like, okay, hey, y'all get these, and then like they, after that they're gonna be like, all right, here it's free for all. And that's why I think Miami gonna take it.
All right. Well, yeah, clearly because they'll be home. All right.
If I say my score, I got 31-20 Miami, 31-17 Miami.
Yeah, boy.
And Malachi returned a punt for a touchdown.
Oh boy. All right. What you got, Ed? Y'all gonna make X go crazy now. Nah, y'all calling these big 58-3.
Man, I was going. My initial one was going to be 38-17. Yeah, I'm gonna keep it 38-17. They'll get 17. They'll no luck up and get a lucky touchdown when the quarterback scrambles and for 40 seconds and he just throws it deep. Somebody in a slip or something. So.
Ma.
Oh, y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So when I did Texas A&M, I had 31-20. When I did Ohio State, I had 31-20. And I said Miami will score a late touchdown. I think this one's going to be 31-20 with them scoring a little junk touchdown. But we dominating this game. I think this Texas A&M game prepared. It's going to prepare as well for the quarterback because – the way we rushed A&M, it was like Georgia tried to run at him. We had this containment where we kind of collapsed their pocket and forced him in the pocket. We're going to keep him in the pocket. So I like our chances for sure. 31-20.
No doubt. No doubt. And I'll wrap it up. I'm going to give him a little more credit than y'all. All right. I'm going to go Miami 34, Ole Miss 24. I think we win convincingly, 10-point game. I think that we will display a lot of ball control. And I believe, man, I honestly think we had an opportunity to really bottle up Lacy and make it one-dimensional, like was mentioned earlier. And if that happens, no matter what, any team that becomes – one dimensional is going to always put you in, you know, especially if you're unable to run. If you can just run it, then yeah, that's different. You can just control the ball and just, you know, control the game. But if you're forced to completely pass, a mistake's coming. That's just the nature of the game. Something bad is going to happen if you got to drop back and pass every single time. You know, they run a lot of RPO stuff. So, you know, again, that's one of the reasons the ball gets out quick. But I think, you know, if he got to throw it 50 times, you know, 40 times, that plays in our hands. And I think, you know, we're able to capitalize on a couple of those situations. So, yeah, I think we'll control the ball a lot. I think we may end up getting a turnover or two that could put us in some great field position and get some, you know, some easy points as well. And I think we bottle up the running game fairly well and force them to just toss a rock around and take advantage of that. So, yeah, I'm going to take Miami 34, Ole Miss 24. And I guess that's that, man. Appreciate everybody pulling up. Oh, man, I can't wait to get back on here and celebrate this dub. We in there. Yes, the bowl. Can you believe it?
And we 0-4 in the Fiesta Bowl. That's the only major New York Six Bowl game we have not won. So we gotta win it. I think it's us. I mean, I think Texas, I think, might be the only team that has won every bowl game. If we do this, we'll be the second team. We'll be the only two teams to win every bowl game. Yes, sir.
That'd be fly. That'd be fly. All right, man. We're gonna get up out of here. Appreciate y'all pulling up. I think everybody bailed out. So I'm gonna just say peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.